Okay. Now, I was going to go 1, 2, 3, but that group is looking fairly depleted. Yeah. So what I think I'm going to do is do you guys plus everyone on the back tables, you can all answer the questions, the middle lot and then the lot over here. Now, each group needs to choose themselves a child runner. So choose a runner quick. You're going to help. Brilliant. All right, okay, decide who your person's going to be. Someone quick, grab a child. Michael, why don't you see if they need a child? You've got Corey? Oh, they've chosen Anna. Michael, you can help me. Come and help me then. All right, quizmaster, come stand up here. Right, I'm going to ask a question. You've got to tell the child in your group the answer. The child has to run over to Michael. The first child to touch Michael's hand gets to answer the question. All right? Okay. It's all about the Bible, so we should be okay. We're on safe-ish ground. All right. Okay, who can answer the first question? Tell your runner. The runner runs up here, smacks Michael's hand, gives us the answer. How many books are in the Old Testament? Oh.
39
is correct. Well done. I would give you points, but it's not that kind of a quiz. We all just love each other. Okay, how many books are in the New Testament? Run away, run over there. Quick, get him. There we go. They'll sleep better. Okay, Anna got him. Quick, Anna, run.
27.
Bonus question. How many altogether?
66.
Well done. It's okay, it was a bonus question. Right. Okay, another one. Stay away from your sister. Right. What does the word Bible mean? What does the word Bible mean? Oh, dear. What can I say? Okay, Michael, let her hit you.
Word of God?
No. Oh, all of that running. Hit him, not me.
Book.
Books, well done. It actually means books. Depending on whether you translate it from the Latin or from the Greek, it can either mean holy book or books. All right, how many authors roughly are in the Bible? How many people wrote the Bible? Roughly.
Three?
Higher. How many? 60, lower.
61.
Lower.
60.
We're about 40-ish, we'll say that, all right. 40-ish, okay. All right, about 31 in the Old Testament and 9 in the New, if you're interested. Over how many years was the Bible written? Over how many years? Yeah? Smack my hand.
Estimation.
The world was created.
No. Not how many years did it cover? Over from the first time the first person wrote to when the last person wrote. How many years? Roughly? 5. No, higher. Shout out. Come on, give me some ideas. 10 million lower. Somewhere between 5 and 10 million.
A million?
A little bit less than a million. Yeah, not 5 million. Good.
A thousand.
Nearly. Double it. 2,000. Oh, 2,000. Excellent. All right. Whew. Okay. Brilliant. Fantastic. Right, no more questions. I'm tired of questions. You can go sit down now. Actually, no, one more job. We're going to be talking today about the Bible, but some of you may not actually have a Bible in your home or a Bible that you can easily get. You have one. You've got one. Brilliant. For those who haven't got one, Kevin has kindly said we can give you one. So if you do not have a Bible in your home that you can easily access and you would like a Bible free from the church as a gift, please put your hand up and Michael will run over with one. Okay, Michael? Anyone else? Yeah, over there. Yeah, Anna, go back. Give them two because they're a whole family. You haven't got one? Give one to Nicole, please. A pink one to Nicole. Oh, take a pink one over to the family over there. Take them a pink one as well because they're a family. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that one's for you guys as well. The pink one's for you because you're a family. There's lots of you. Okay. No, put that back. Okay. You need another one?
Yeah.
Pink one over to the table at the back. Fantastic. Right. Deep breaths. Okay. Now, open your Bibles. Feel free to open it. Have a look at it. Those of you who've got your Bibles today, we're going to open it at a page we don't often open it at in church. Can you open it, please, at the contents page? Go have a sit down, Misha. Thank you. I'll need your help again in a minute, mate. Okay, what we're going to do today is have a quick look at the story of the Bible. You're going to help me in a minute. A quick look at the whole story of the Bible. What happens? And more importantly, how do I read it? I've just got a Bible for the first time. It's full of strange names and I have no idea where to start. Let me tell you a little clue. If you start reading the Bible at the beginning and try to get to the last page in order, you're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. So we're going to tell you why. We're going to explain the story of the Bible, and then we're going to give you some really practical hints on how you can read it. Okay? Everyone up for a bit of that? Excellent. Have we all got our Bibles open at the contents page? Or the menu, if you're on a phone. All right, so we've got it split into two categories, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Testament means promise. Okay, so we had a first promise and then a new promise. The difference between the Old and the New Testament is the person of Jesus, but we will look at that as we go through it. If you start at Genesis and look down the road until you get to Nehemiah, have a look, Genesis down to Nehemiah. These are historical books. These are history. It's the story of what's happening. We'll look at what that story is in a minute. Then you've got Esther. Now, Esther's a story that happened during the time of Nehemiah. And then you've got Job. That's where you go if you need a job. It's not really. That's the book of Job. And that actually comes somewhere in Genesis. So it's not in its right place. But we'll not rip it out and put it in the right place because it's not Dead Poets Society. We're not going to start doing that. But those are the historical books. Then you've got Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Songs. These are what's called the wisdom literature. So these are what you read if you're feeling down or happy and you don't know what words to say. You go to Psalms, open it up. There are loads of songs in there. You don't have to sing them if you don't want to. But that's where you go when you're looking for something to pray and you don't know what to say. Go to Psalms. Proverbs are books of wise sayings of how you should live, mainly written by Solomon, who was the wisest man ever. Okay? But he didn't stay wise. He had 600 wives. And as any man will tell you, that's never going to end well. So he didn't end well. He ended up being far from God, and at the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes, which is really where you don't ever want to be. Ecclesiastes is quite a depressing book, and that kind of shows you what happens if you don't stay with God. So Proverbs is the way to live. Ecclesiastes is the way you don't want to live. Don't go there and go, ooh, that's inspirational. Songs of Solomon, we'll just keep that quiet because there's under 18s in the room. From then on, you have Isaiah all the way down to Malachi. These are the prophetic books, the prophets. So these people were talking. So you've got like the history books here and then the prophecy books, and they kind of slot together. So they come at different times in the history books and they're telling the people what God's saying at the time. So usually it's stop doing that and do good things. Okay, then you come on to the New Testament. First four books are historical books. They're the Gospels. They tell the story of the life of Jesus. The following books, all the way to the last one, they're all epistles. They're books that give wisdom to the church. And the last one is a prophetic book, Revelation. We're going to talk about all of those. So that's not the story. That's just telling you what's going on in the books. Don't worry if you can't pronounce the names. They're very difficult. I need a Sharpie. Right. Now, the amazing thing about these books, the 66 books, is that they all tell the same story. For those of you who are parents or teachers or whoever had more than two children in a room at one time trying to tell you a story, you will know that to get two people to tell the same story is a miracle. But these 66 books, with their 40-plus authors, all tell the same story. Okay? I'm going to read something to you. It says, it's from a children's book, but I thought it was the best thing in the world, so I'm going to read it to you. God wrote, "I love you." He wrote it in the sky and on the earth and under the sea. He wrote his message everywhere because God created everything in his world to reflect him like a mirror, to show us what he's like and to help us know him and make our hearts sing. The way a kitten chases her tail, the way red poppies grow wild, the way a dolphin swims. And God put it into words too and wrote it in a book called the Bible. Now, some people think the Bible is a book of rules, telling you what you should and shouldn't do. The Bible certainly does have some rules in it. They show you how life works best. But the Bible isn't mainly about you and what you should be doing. It's about God and what he has done. Other people think the Bible is a book of heroes, showing you people you should copy. The Bible does have some heroes in it, but most of the people in the Bible aren't heroes at all. They made some big mistakes, sometimes on purpose. They get afraid and run away, and at times they're downright mean. No, the Bible isn't a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's the most wonderful of fairy tales that has come true in real life. You see, the best thing about the story is it's true. There are lots of stories in the Bible, but all the stories are telling one big story, the story of how God loves his children and comes to rescue them. So it takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of the story, there's a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He's like the missing piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly you see a beautiful picture. And this is no ordinary baby. This is the child upon whom everything would depend. This is the child who would one day... But wait, our story starts where all good stories start, at the beginning. So, we're going to quickly run through the story of the Bible. And I need help. And we are all going to learn it because we are going to have homework. And our homework will be to tell at least one person the story of the Bible. Now, it's easy because there's loads of people away, so you'll be able to go and tell people who know the story of the Bible anyway. But it would be really good if you got to maybe share the story of the Bible with someone who didn't know. And we're going to start with creation. Michael. Sorry, there's plenty of pictures. Hold it up. We're starting with creation. Creation. You can't see. It's all right. Okay. I feel we need fuchsia. Is that better? Fuchsia. Okay. Creation. We're starting with creation. It happened in Genesis. Genesis covers thousands and thousands of years, but the Bible tells us, God in the Bible tells us the things that we should know. So we're not going to worry about what's not there. There's a lot that's not there. But what God tells us in the Bible is the things that he wants us to know. Okay, so we start off with creation. We have Noah and the flood, and we go through to time of the patriarchs. Okay, so we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These guys were important because these were the guys God made a special promise with. Okay, he made a special promise that their children were going to love and follow God. Okay, so we have creation. Everyone say creation. Good. Patriarchs. Everyone say patriarchs. Good. Now, after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have Joseph. Story of Joseph and his technical dream coat, big famine, everyone goes to Egypt. They stay in Egypt for 400 years and come into slavery. Not a good idea. And so the next thing happens. I'm going to draw, you guys are going to guess. My work is showing at the National Art Gallery next year. Nicole, do you want to come up and hold this one? Let's give Nicole a clap. It's her first time here in church. That's it, hold it like that. Mm-hmm. There you go. Anyone want to guess? It's an exit. Exodus. Okay. So after 400 years in Egypt, we have the Exodus, which is conveniently told for us in the book of Exodus. Good. Excellent. It's quite straightforward. Okay. So they leave slavery. They go into the desert for 40 years. And in this 40 years, God looks after them. He provides everything they need. They never get sick. Their clothes don't wear out. Their shoes don't wear out. And the fashions don't change. Fantastic. But why is God doing that? He's teaching them to rely on him because he wants people in the nations around where they're going to go. He wants them to know what it looks like when a nation follows God. When a nation trusts God, he wants to show what a nation reliant on God looks like so that all the other nations will go, oh, I want to be like that. I want to have a God like that. Okay, so he brings them into the... Yes? Promised Land. Who wants to come? Any of you girls want to come? Yep, hang on. Oh, all right, Corey, you can come the next time, okay? All right, maybe you guys can just stand on the floor. Leave the stage
for me.
Thanks. Okay, so we start off with creation. We have the patriarchs. Then they go into Egypt. They come out. It's called the Exodus. And they go into the promised land. Okay? It's getting exciting. I'm going to let you guess this next picture. Ooh. Any ideas? No, not picking you. It helps if you know the story. Any ideas? What comes after the promised land? Joshua takes them into the promised land. Then we have judges. Judge. It's a judge. Obviously a judge with a gavel. Come on. Help me out here. You're never going to forget it, are you? You're never going to forget it. Come and hold this for me, sweetie. Thank you very much. So we're starting off with creation, with me. Creation, patriarchs, Exodus, promised land, judges. Excellent. So the nation are what's called a theocracy. That means God's in control, God's in charge. And they're like that for about 300 years. And during that time, God raises up different judges. And that's where Kevin is in the story at the moment. As Kevin's preaching to us, he's talking from the book of Judges, and he's telling us stuff. The nation occasionally went wrong, quite often went wrong, so God had to raise up different judges, different men and women, who would show them the way back to God. Gideon, Samson, Deborah, lots of others. But finally they went, you know what, we're bored of this, we want a king. God said, you don't want a king, he'll charge you taxes. And they went, no, we want a king. So we have the time of Max, do you want to help? The United Kingdom. It's a crown for those of you who are doubting my artistic ability. Michael, shush, please. Now you've got to stand next to the, that's it, brilliant. Okay. No, the other way. You've got to stand next to. It's all going to go wrong. Come on, we've got to stand this way, over here. Stand just there, and hold it up so everyone can see. Thanks. Yay. All right. So the time of the United Kingdom is actually quite a short time in Israel's history. We've got King Saul, we've got King David, and we've got King Solomon. After that, there's civil war, and it all goes wrong. But during this time, it's during Max's time of the kingdom, that's when all of the literature, the wisdom literature, was written. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Songs. They were mainly written in this time. But then it all went wrong. I'm almost embarrassed to show my picture. It's only to help you in the learning. One day I'll learn how to use a PowerPoint. Now we have the divided kingdom. Who would like to help? No, you're helping. Can I have another little person? Please? Yes, quick. Okay. She's giving me one that doesn't work now. Okay, so we've got the divided kingdom. It divides like this. The north breaks away in a bid for independence. Shocking. But it doesn't go well for them. I'm not saying anything. It just doesn't go well. The south have some good kings, but the north had quite a few bad kings and who did horrible things and set up their own temple. They really rebelled. Most of the prophetic books that we read from Isaiah down to Malachi were all written during this time. And it was God saying to the people, please stop it. Stop doing wrong stuff and turn back to me. I want you to be my people, my special people. Please stop it. Until it went on and on and on, about 400 years or so, he was just begging with them and they just ignored him. And it got to the stage where God could no longer keep blessing them, and he had to send them away. Into exile. So here we have the promised land, and they're being sent away from the promised land. You're laughing. I could have done it with actions and made you all do actions, all right? You'd just be grateful for the pictures. Okay, now, invading armies came in. In 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and took the people into exile in the north. Judah's able to stay strong for a little while, have a couple of kings that are good, but then they get bad kings, and it all goes wrong. And in 586 BC, the Babylonians with King Nebuchadnezzar come in, destroy the south, destroy the temple, take the people away. Okay. And they're in exile for quite a while. All sorts of things happen. Then, they come back from exile. Who wants to come and help? Who wants to come? Come on, come on. Yeah, that's right. Hold it over your brother's head. Be really grateful he's not older. Right, okay. So they return from exile. Only some of them do. Just a little interesting point. Only some of them come back, which means there are still some Jews left in the east. And a little bit later on, we hear of people coming from the east looking for a king. How about if you two swap? Yeah? Oh, all right, Grandad's helping. Fantastic. All right. So, the books in your Bible of Ezra and Nehemiah, that's the people returning. And then we have this one. We have 400 years of silence. Hold that one too. All right. Oh, yeah, okay. No, if you want to come and help, that's great. We'll have older helpers. All right, let's see how good you are. We've just gone through the whole of the Old Testament. We've covered 1,500 years of written history in 10 minutes. You're going to go stand next to the little girl in the yellow over there. Right, so first of all, we start off in the Bible with creation. Then we have patriarchs. God makes a promise. They go into Egypt. Then we get the Exodus. From the Exodus, they go into the... And then we have the time of the... Then we have the time of the... Your space is here. The kings, the United Kingdom. Then we have the divided kingdom. They're not obedient to the prophets. What happens? They go into exile. But then a few years later, they come back from exile, and then, that's right, 400 years of silence. We're doing really well, aren't we? We're speeding through this. Now, do you kids just want to sit down for a minute? Because in the 400 years of silence, some really interesting things happen on a world stage, okay? But they're not going to be interested in this. It's only I'm interested in this, and I'm going to pretend you are. Alexander the Great. Have you heard of Alexander the Great? Thank you. Okay, at this point, he conquered the known world in this time. And that wasn't anything spectacular. It was a time when there were empires and kingdoms. But he did something really interesting. He commandeered a lot of the people from different countries into his army. And the only way they could all serve together in the same army was if they had a common language. So he created a common kind of Greek that everybody in the army had to learn. So this one language, this trading language, army language of this basic Greek, was taught throughout the whole of the province, from Asia, India, through to Africa, through to Europe. So suddenly the whole of the known world had a common language. Then Alexander the Great died. That's pretty much all he did. He just won, got everyone speaking the same language, then he died. That was it. Thank you. Little did he know that 300 years later, there would be a very important book circulated all over the world, because God took this guy and taught the world a common language. After Alexander, his generals fight and split the world into four empires, and no one takes control for a long time, until 49 BC, when this empire in the southern region raises up. And in 49 BC, Julius Caesar becomes dictator in Rome. Assassinated 7 years later, Mark Antony and Octavian, also called Augustus, begin to rule in the Roman Empire. During this time, the Romans perfect a method of execution they got from the Persians called crucifixion. In BC 31, there's a battle that Augustus wins. And a man called Herod comes and asks if he can be king of the Jews. So we have Augustus, we have Herod, we have the tables set for this particular scripture. Bear with. And it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so everyone was registered and returned to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee out to the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And that's when everything kicks off again. And we begin. With the life of Jesus. Okay, Rachel, do you want to come and help us, sweetie? We need you. We need you. Okay. You're doing really well. You'll get a treat later. Right, so Jesus comes. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have the book of Acts, which, although technically it's a letter, is about the beginning of this. Come on, what is it? Church, thank you very much. I know in those days they didn't look like that. But, you know, my drawing's bad enough. Don't give me an early church to draw. All right, Rachel, I need your two hands. There you go. All right, super. Then, bless you. You're never going to guess what this is. You're never going to be able to read it. What do you think this symbolizes? Letters. Oh, you're good. Can I have another child, please? Thank you. Thank you, thank you. You can all stand up again if you like, because I'm about to make you dance. There you go. We've got the letters to the church, instructions to the church. Whew. There was lots of letters to the church because there were lots of problems in the church. All right, and then we've got the last one. Okay, take a good look because I am going to quiz you in a minute. The last one, Jesus comes back. Good news, the book of Revelation. He comes, he winds it all up, he makes it better. I'll read a bit more about that in a minute, but I'm going to test you all. Right, kids, turn around and look at me so that no one can see your pictures. Oh, harsh. All right, turn around, that's it. So, what have we got? Creation. Patriarchs. Exodus, good. Promised Land. Judges, well done. United Kingdom, then the Divided Kingdom. Excellent, swizzle. Mm-hmm. What have we got here? Exile and the return from exile. Superb. Shh, superb. Jesus and the beginning of the church, yep. What have we got before Revelation? Letters to the church. Brilliant. And then Revelation. Excellent. Right, kids, come and get a wee treat and then go sit down. Oh. All right. I will randomly be calling on somebody in leadership to check that they've learned all of that at the end. All right. Just pop them on the floor, love. It's fine. Pop them on the floor. It's fine. You can pick them up later. So, that is the Bible. That is what I've just given you, what you've got in your hand. So what? If we have a little think about Revelation, the last book in the Bible, that was a vision that John had. I'm going to read this bit from this great book again because it's such a good book. It says, one day John knew heaven would come down and mend God's broken world and make it our true, perfect home once more. He knew in some mysterious way that would be hard to explain that everything was going to be more wonderful for once having been so sad. And he knew then that the ending of the story was going to be so great it would make all the sadness and tears and everything seem just like a shadow that's chased away by the morning sun. I'm on my way, said Jesus. I'll be there soon. John came to the end of his book, but he didn't write the end because, of course, that's how stories finish, and this one isn't over yet. So instead, he wrote, come quickly, Lord Jesus, which is perhaps another way of saying, to be continued. It says, for anyone who says yes to Jesus, for anyone who believes what Jesus says, for anyone who will just reach out and take it, then God will give them this wonderful gift to be born into a whole new life, to be who they really are, who God made them to be, their true selves, God's dear child. Because you see, the most amazing thing about this story is it's your story too. The Bible wasn't just written about what God did 2,000 years ago. It's about our lives when we choose to join ourselves to God. You know, the most amazing thing that happened in my life is what we sang about in the last song when Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. Okay? So when you read this story, this book, it's not just a story. It's now. The Bible actually says that all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching and lots of other good stuff. And it also said that it's living and active. So as you read it, it's going to be challenging you and changing you. So we're going to just look at a few quick hints of how to read it. Okay, the first thing to acknowledge is it's a big book. It's going to take you a long time, and that's okay. There are going to be bits of it you don't understand. That's okay. Stick with it. That is my big thing. Stick with it. I would tell you to do what I tell my children and myself to do. You don't have to do it, but you see how well behaved my kids are, so you follow my advice if I were you. Right, choose a time and a place. I haven't got the humility thing yet, have I? Choose a time and a place. For me, early morning's best, since it sets me up for the day. If I start the day reading scripture, it allows that scripture to go through my head through the day, and it sets me up. I enjoy my Bible readings with a cup of coffee, mainly because the children know not to say a word to me till the coffee cup is finished, so I can be guaranteed a bit of quiet. I might make a radical suggestion, maybe wake up half an hour earlier to get that quiet cup of coffee. The other thing I'd tell you to do is have a notepad handy, because there's going to be things that you come across that you don't understand. Oh, I don't know what that is. I'm going to write that down. That's a question I'll ask Kevin on Sunday. Write it down. There are things that you're going to love. Oh, I love that. Underline it in your Bible. It's your Bible. You can write on it. It's okay. It's not like it's sacred because of who wrote it, not because what it's written in. So you can write in your Bible, underline bits you love, write them in your notebook. Things that you want to understand better. Oh, I've read a little bit of that. I want to look into that some more. Write it in your notebook. Write it in your notebook. Let your notebook be kind of like a conversation that you're having with God as you read. Then we use a Bible reading program. So you've got a mobile phone. There's an app called The Bible. It's well named. It's by Life Church. It's free. On there, you can get different plans. So you can, at the moment, I'm reading through the Bible in a year. I started in October, so it'd take me just over a year, so if I was a bit late, it wouldn't matter. I'm only just in June, so it's a good job I started in October. And then, importantly, find someone you can share stuff with. Get together with a friend once a week or once a fortnight and talk through your notebook together. Talk through what you're learning. Ask them the questions. See if they know the answers. A little hint I've found in my life is that my husband and I, we get on so well, but we read things very differently. So I'll say to him, look what I've read in the Bible, it's amazing. And he's like, yeah, how were you reading it? And then he'll come to me and go, oh, God's just spoken to me. And I'm like, yeah, that's obvious. So it probably helps if you choose someone of the same gender and then you can both go, wow, that's amazing together, instead of going, yeah. Okay, so that's that. That's what I wanted to teach you. We're at that part in the service where I'd like to call on someone. Gilbert. Let's see how good he is at remembering. What have we got first?
Creation.
Very good. Then?
You're twisting Runa.
No, it's all right.
Patriarchs.
Patriarchs. Brilliant. Patriarchs going to Egypt. Then we've got the
Exodus. Jewel.
Promised land.
Promised land. Excellent. In the promised land, we have the time of the
judges.
Tell she's a teacher, can't you? Judges. All right. Then after the judges, we have
United Kingdom.
United Kingdom. Then the
divided kingdom.
Then
exile.
Exile. Then
Rodbach.
Return from exile. Then what have we got? Anyone help? What have we got? All right, we'll move on to a child who wants to do the next bit. After the shh, what happens?
Jesus.
Jesus, good. And what have we got? We've got the beginning of the
church.
Church, excellent. Then we've got the
letters.
Letters, and then we've got
Revelation.
Revelation, excellent. Everyone who's just spoken can go have another treat. Get a box of raisin for Gilbert and Alison. Yeah, because my treats are sugar-free. Boxes of raisins or pencils. Okay, so that's that. We've been through the Bible in a short space of time. We've got some hints. Go. Got some hints on how to read it. Maybe after we could kind of get together with folk and ask them how they read the Bible, talk to each other, share your own experiences. There's not that many of us. We can chat together and learn from each other. But before I ask the worship group to come back, I do just want to open it up. The whole point about the Bible is that it's God singing his never-ending story of love to us. That's what it's all about, from the beginning to the end. And if you're here today and you haven't had a chance to actually say yes to God and to say, God, I want you to be singing that never-ending love story to me. I want to be part of that story. I want to own this. If you really want to know Jesus and to know him for yourself, then please feel free to come in the next song. I'll ask the worship band to be making their way up. Feel free to come in the next song and have a chat, and we would be delighted to introduce you to Jesus for yourself. Okay, how are you feeling? Still with me? Good. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Alison, and we're going to sing about just how good God is. Let's pray before we do that. Jesus, we thank you that you came. God, we thank you that you gave us this book which teaches us about you, which is your love story. And Jesus, as we read the Bible, we're going to see people turning their back on you. But God, we don't want to be part of the people that turn their back on you. We want to be those that embrace you, that hear you singing your love songs over us. We want to be the ones that read the Bible and are inspired to love you and to worship you and inspired to see you in our everyday lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. And we love you. Amen.